Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And we got a lot of Texans to talk about here this morning. I mean, Lance, so you're playing, hey, the NFC North, it's the best division in football.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Unquestionably.
I mean, you already got your ass kicked by the Vikings. Luckily, you got Caleb Williams in the second week. And then the Packers just took care. Listen, that was a dominate. That was dominating. And you know, you had two drives that started at the 11-yard line. Because of Hewitt's interception and then the punt that they hit the leg of the Packer. Uh-huh. So you had two drives. You scored 10 points off two drives that started at the 11.
But you got the cover.
You did get the cover. Okay.
Miraculous. You outplayed other teams earlier this year. I noticed, by the way, that's the national talking point, is that the Texans were involved in these close games. Honestly, the Bears game wasn't really close. The Colts game really didn't feel that close. There was late.
Well, there were one score games.
Yeah, at the end of it. Well, yeah. Okay, so this was a close game?
It actually was a close game. They had the lead with 3 seconds
score.
Left.
I know, but they were outplayed.
Oh, totally.
And that's
outplayed.
What I'm saying. The score, like, the Texans won by two, or lost by two.
Yeah, they should have lost by
14. But it was actually, it actually should have been worse. Texans managed 177 yards of total offense. Was it 17? No, I'm sorry, 197.
No.
And the Packers get 277.
They had 86 and 142. It was 240. It was 220-something. 222.
For who?
86 passing yards and 142 rushing yards.
Huh. Because I'm looking here, it says total yards 197 in the box score.
Well, I don't know why, but maybe they don't count the sack yards off of that. Maybe that's it. But CJ threw for 86, and they ran for 142. The only guy who showed up yesterday was Mixon. He's the only guy that showed up yesterday.
Yeah. Well, they ran block pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, they ran block pretty well, and Mixon. This is one of the things I'm just going to get, you know, since all we ever hear about is, you guys, the Texans win, and all you do is complain. I tell you on Monday, and all you do is complain. Okay? Texans win. The football game, and I want to come here and touch my pee-pee and be all excited about everything in the whole world. But wow. No, we don't complain. We talk about, you know, this is going to get tricky when you play better teams if you don't tighten some stuff up. We mention it, and then yesterday when that kind of pops up, all of a sudden now hey, here's the thing. Okay, they ran block well. Joe Mixon's three games that he's played three games, hit 100 yards in all three games. CJ wasn't good. The offense wasn't good. The pass protection wasn't good. The run blocking was good. Joe Mixon was good. But the Houston Texans, all the stuff that we've talked about every Monday, John, the concerns, like, they're not really getting after the quarterback enough at the defensive end spot. And I don't care. Don't tell me about Will Anderson's 3 sacks last week against a guy who shouldn't even be in the league. I don't care about that stuff. You pay these defensive ends to get after Jordan Love in the final minute, in the final drive, and they got nothing. You know, the pass rush has nothing. The defensive tackles continue to do more consistently, frankly, off the edge, and I feel like the the DNs do, but that's not even really a big deal. You're not protecting the quarterback well. And, you know, let's just be real about this. DeMeco Ryans and Bobby Slowick, and I don't know how it played out, you know, the head coach typically is the one who decides the level of aggression at the end of a game. I don't know what your thought was, but as it was taking place with three timeouts, John, for the Texans, and then, the Green Bay Packers, three timeouts there, the Texans have the ball down a field goal range. You know, if they run the ball three straight times, Green Bay's going to call three straight field goals, and you're still going to end up with a minute 48 to kick a field goal and beat the Texans if you play for field goal. Now, you know, worst case scenario, you got to come out of there with a field goal. I was okay with killing off some timeouts, but really, you win the game if you get a first down. The game is over.
Well, that's Kymie why he
Fairbairn
threw on third
wins
down.
The game with the field.
That's why he threw on third down, though.
Yeah, and that's why he threw on third down. But the problem was, the two runs right up the A gaps at the end of that game were like Green Bay was coming downhill with run blitzes. You basically gave yourself no chance. You got a third and 12. I think it was a third and 12. And so, yeah, now you're throwing on third and 12. And that's fine to throw, but, I mean, you got to get a first down or it's irrelevant. You do one of two things.
So how would you prefer that they
– I think the way that you do this –
You can't throw on first and second down.
Here's what I do. Jet sweep, handoff, something to get the ball wide, something that they're not looking for. I think maybe a quick a sideline pass, one of those quick little single blocker screens where you throw it to the slot receiver and let him, you know, something that's safe that keeps the clock running, but gets you out in space somewhere away from the crowded box that was eight. You wanted to get outside of the tackle box if you could while keeping the game running. You could play action. Everyone's coming downhill. That's a perfect time for a play fake to a tight end or to a fullback. You know, a tight end. Dressed up as a fullback.
Yeah, if he throws an incompletion or like against Cincinnati.
I understand.
Lost. If they could stop somebody, they win the football game.
But they get the first down, the game's over, John.
They get the first down, the game is
over. The game is over.
Yeah, unless you don't waste any of their timeouts before then. I mean, you got to start. You got to waste some of their timeouts.
If you get a first down, they get their timeouts wasted. They have to call one right there before you even run first down.
I didn't have a real problem with it. I hated the pass along the sideline to Tank. I hated that, you know, it was just a wasted play, actually, if you want to know the truth. And Kymie did his job, and the defense has got to step up. The defense has got to stop somebody. They had drives of 92, 71, 70, and then the game-winning drive there.
That's crazy.
That's crazy
to have that many long drives. Like, well, you're lucky to be in the game. But what's even crazier, John, is Green Bay only had their total yardage, at least in a box score, is 277 yards.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, they had sacks, too. They had over 300 yards, but the Texans had sacks, too. Listen, I can understand that a lot more than I can understand this offensive line. You got injuries. You didn't have Kamari Lassiter. You didn't have El Shaair. You didn't have Toa Toa. You just lost Mario Edwards. I get that that Green Bay, who's a good offense, got a lot of weapons. Josh Jacobs looked good. Jordan Love looks good. They have a lot of playmakers.
Romeo Dobbs has played really well.
Listen. I understand that. What I don't get is how you can't pick up a simple tight end tackle stunt if you're an offensive line. How long have you been – Shaq Mason, how long have you been doing this? Laremy Tunsil, he couldn't pick up just a simple TE stunt. Are you kidding me? They got CJ killed yesterday. They got him killed. And if Bobby Slowick, if you've got to keep a tight end in – if you've got to keep the running back in, you got to do whatever you can to give CJ a little bit of time, even if you put two or three guys in the route.
Well,
you've got to give that guy some time.
One thing that's not being talked about is some of it is CJ, too. On those corner blitzes, and some of it is just you just tip your hat like Craig Biggio might
come on. Wait a minute. Dalton Schultz is standing there, and he just lets the guy run right by him.
Schultz is a terrible blocker.
Well,
Schultz is a terrible run blocker and a terrible pass blocker.
Then get him out of there and put Stover in there and let him block.
Well, I'm just telling you, Schultz is. If you think you're going to get anything out of Schultz, you're sadly mistaken. He's been bad this whole time.
Did you see him? He just went. Oh,
he has no interest. Well. He has no interest. That dog is not in his heart. So that's, you know, he's a pass catching tight end is what he is. But you know, they had the Xavier McKinney sack where he came off the edge, but he was lined up. He's aligned on the line. CJ has got to be aware of that.
Is that the time that Titus Howard just fell down?
No, okay. No. He's on the other side. He's on Tunsil's side. They overloaded.
Oh yeah,
they overloaded that side. And CJ's got to be aware of that. Now that may be the time you're thinking of that Dalton Schultz was there.
No. Xavier McKinney, he beat Laramie Tunsil around the end. It was a safety that came around that Dalton Schultz just looked to the right, and the guy runs right by him. I mean, that was a safety detective.
Well, okay, what I'm thinking of is when McKinney came off the edge and Laramie was blocking down. Laramie was not setting out to him. Laramie was blocking down.
He went inside, and then he goes, oh, crap. And he tries to catch.
Well, yeah, he tried to help. You're probably thinking that he did the wrong thing, but I don't think he did the wrong thing. I think he's trying to help his. I think he's trying to help his quarterback.
While McKinney's standing out there by himself, actually, Laramie Tunsil realized he was wrong.
Okay, we got to look at it because I'm talking about an overload on that side. Because I was trying to find out who it was, and that's when I realized that's probably C.J. Stroud's. You got to account for the number. You got three numbered on that side against two. You got to know that. That means that's C.J. Stroud. This is why it's a little. I'm saying this is just why it's a little dangerous for radio guys like us to talk about.
I know what's not dangerous to say. They sucked yesterday. Offensive line sucked yesterday.
Yeah,
that's not dangerous to say because they were terrible.
They did run block, and they did give you a chance. They gave you a chance to win because of the running game. Because C.J. Stroud hit 86 yards passing.
Yeah, because of them, he had 86 yards passing because the line sucked.
It was in part. Yeah, Tank had no catches.
Tankdale
had no catches.
You go look at the number. Go look at the number of hurries for him. Hurries, sacks. Pressures. It was ridiculous.
This is why I can't understand how the hell they were winning.
Yeah,
you had a chance to win the game.
You had the ball twice.
Sometimes you win games
line.
You don't deserve to win. One first down at the end of that game. One first down and you win the game. You got to have the balls to. You got to have the balls to come out there and go get that first down. And typically they operate like that. Typically they're not super passive. That one was. Pretty passive for Green Bay having three timeouts because killing off timeouts was no big deal. They were just going to use them all, and you weren't. If you didn't get a first down, they were still going to have a minute 48 to go get a field goal. It's not the hardest thing in the world against that secondary.
No. All right, we're just getting it started. If you guys got some thoughts, you're more than welcome. Hey, we're giving away. How about this? We are giving away four tickets a day. For the Texas A&M University of Houston game at the Fertitta Center on Sunday. If you've never been to the Fertitta Center, you want to go to this game. It's an exhibition. It's the two teams. They met last year in the NCAA tournament. They met last year in the regular season. And, Wade Taylor is back. And so this is going to be good. The University of Houston is one of the top-ranked teams in the country. So this is going to happen on Sunday. We'll be giving away two pairs of tickets every day this week for that matchup on Sunday. It's just getting started. We got what did you learn this weekend? One sentence coming your way. We got all kinds of sound from the game. We'll hear from the offensive line and have some kind of explanation. We'll hear from CJ and D'Amico as well. So we got stuff to do here. We're just getting started. But right now I'm talking about Houston Powder Coaters. I'm talking about you and whatever metal that you have that you need to save. I got one place that you can save it, and that's Houston Powder Coaters. You'll love dealing with Robin. You will love dealing with everybody over at Houston Powder Coaters. They're awesome. They are just awesome. Free pickup, free delivery, everything about it cannot be better. You're looking for a great way to get that whatever metal it is. And listen, I've talked about this before, is that if you want to save whatever metal it is, that furniture that you have, you want to save it because you definitely do not want to buy this metal because it's not as good. The metal from the past is much better. Okay, it's thicker, it's harder, everything about it. So you want to save that if you can. Text Robin a picture of your patio furniture, and she will tell you whether or not you can save it or you got to buy new stuff. It's so, they're so good. 5-star customer service, great Google reviews, over 20 years in business. 281-676-3888 or HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it right here.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I just watched another play where Laremy Tunsil blocks down, and maybe Rashawn Gary, who went out in the pass route, Ogunmunwale. Maybe he was the one that was supposed, I don't know, whichever one. But CJ's under siege, and he's got to just throw the ball away because Rashawn Gary goes unblocked. How in the world are you setting up a pass block where Rashawn Gary, who's in a three-point stance on the edge, gets unblocked? How in the world, even if it's not physical, if it's mental, that's even worse, okay? But listen, and if it is that you've got Ogunmunwale blocking Rashawn Gary on the edge, that's stupid anyway. That's stupid anyway. They've got to do something
well,
about it.
Well, remember now, CJ can change
terrible
protections too. I'm just saying, some of this is quarterback related. You have to know by the numbers where your responsibility is. You're responsible for a certain man on the line when they rush more than you block. And the second thing is, if you're not comfortable with the protection, change your protection. Slide it to the numbers. And I don't know if CJ, I don't know if CJ's changing protections or not. I mean, that has to be and I don't know that Bobby Sloak would even discuss that publicly and make CJ look bad if that were the case. Or maybe CJ, you know, has done a good job with calling protections. I don't know, but a quarterback has the ability to change his protection up front,
yes,
to get himself protected.
Okay, go back and watch all the pressures, though, anyway.
Well, I'm about to. They got pressure.
There were so many stunts.
There were 14
simple
pressures.
Simple stunts that they just screwed up. I mean, and listen, I don't know anything about I've been watching football forever. I played whatever. I've never been an offensive line coach. I do know this. They sucked yesterday. Sucked. So they've got to figure this out, because you can't get that guy killed. And maybe sometimes he should have slid to protection. That's fine. But other times, on a simple stunt, you got to do your job, guys. You have got to be able to pick that up. I mean, they look like this is the first time they've ever seen a stunt.
Yeah, I'm going to watch. I'm watching right now all of the pressures. Like the first one was, they considered a pressure, was just a rollout where he made a good. Ooh, yeah. I mean, I'm gonna watch all this.
Yeah, you
stuff,
gotta watch. Don't watch it on the air. Let's get some calls in here. 713-780-3776. Who'd you say was first, Del? Zach. Jack. What's up, Jack?
Yeah. Hey, John Lance. So I think the O-line issues all stem from Tunsil. I mean, you look at this guy, he's always been selfish. You know, he would rather give up a false start than have a sack on his resume. He had to be begged to work out and go to practice. And this guy's supposed to be the leader of the offensive line. You can't tell me that doesn't rub off on the other guys when they're supposed to be looking up to him. I mean, who's jumping the other guys' asses when they're not doing their job? That's not going to be Tunsil. And so, and then I don't know if you saw Dave Portnoy online yesterday. He was calling out the offensive line too. In the fourth quarter, when Stroud ran for the first down, he got nailed by two guys. And then the other time he was going out of bounds, he got checked in the shoulder. You didn't see any of the offensive line guys come over and like try and take care of CJ. So it sucks that, you know, Tunsil is supposed to be the leader of that offensive line as the captain, because he's not doing his job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say this is three straight games he hadn't had a false start penalty, so he's clearly, you know, made an effort, And basically, I thought it was, and I called him selfish before, because, and as you see, now you see why I said that. It's something that he was just saying, I don't care if I get penalties. I'm just going to get the jump out there on my pass rush. And if I get a penalty, I get a penalty. That's selfish. That's selfish, because obviously the last three games, it's not been an issue for him. So I give him credit for fixing something that was broken for multiple years. But then on the other thing, you know, I have less of a problem. I know the CJ plays talking about. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I mean, ran into TD Slayton, to Darius Slayton, and you know, I don't know. I didn't have a huge issue with that. I think that Tunsil thinking it's sweet to sit out all preseason and not do stuff and not practice all the time with the rest of the team, I do think that's an issue. And I've heard that it's rubbing off on one of his teammates for sure. I've heard that one of his teammates for sure has been influenced by that kind of stuff, where why do we have to practice when he doesn't? I've heard that a wide receiver has an issue because Tunsil doesn't have to practice all the time, but we do. Like, so yes, to that point, it does make an issue, I think. But I think that, you know, the stuff about protecting CJ and all, I don't know if I want to go there. I'm looking at John. I just saw, by the way, the play you were talking about where he blocks down and then dives back outside. Yeah, he screwed that up. That's just all on Tunsil. And that was Rashawn Gary coming off the edge. And Tunsil, just for some reason, he thought he was blocking the man in front of him. But when you see the slide protection by the rest of him, that's on Tunsil. And I'm going to go through all these, and I'm going to go find out what the hell's going on and what we need to do. We'll fix it here on the show. I guarantee we're going to get this thing fixed.
We'll fix it.
We're going to get it fixed.
I don't know that it's all Tunsil's fault. I mean, I saw Shaq Mason suck.
It's never
too.
Just one guy's fault on an offensive line.
All of them. Tytus Howard is backing up and just falls down. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I mean.
that was bad.
Fell. Someone's leg got in his way. Like, I think a teammate's leg was there and he tripped over
it. Are we sure? Because I looked at it multiple times. I didn't think he tripped on anybody.
I didn't either.
At first, I thought he had to have gotten stepped on, but I'm not sure. I'm going to look at it from the end zone angle. But by the way, speaking of, let's see, Tunsil. Let's just go to the call, because I'm trying to remember what I was going to say there. You know who Pro Football Focus had rated as the worst game? They gave a grade of 29 to Kenyon Green. 29, and that's telling me, and he gave up three pressures, which means I'm probably going to see those twists like you talked about. I'll probably see the TE and the ET where he got beat on him, is my guess, is that's where a lot of that's coming from, because he gave up one sack and three pressures. One sack and three hurries. So four pressures coming from guard is not ideal at all. That's where it should be a little bit easier. And that's not great.
CJ Stroud completed 10 of his 21 passes for 86 yards in week 7 against Packers, facing pressure on a career-high 48.3% of his dropbacks. He finished the game 3-9 for 40 yards and four sacks under pressure, adding one scramble for 6 yards.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, and TJ was the number one quarterback against pressure this year going into that game. Not anymore. Who's next, Del? Ira, what's going on, Ira?
And good morning, fellas. Glad to be on with the A-team. Look, man, you know, two things I took away from that game yesterday. One, with the offense coordinator, our guy, it seemed that he went away from what was effective. So as I look at the overall game, it looked like Green Bay came in and said, hey, we shutting down the passing game, right? But we did really well running the football. Mm-hmm. But early on, we had some great plays to the tight ends. And I was like, you know, why do we go away from that, right? And then secondly, man, the NFC North is much better than I think a lot of people expect. You talking like right now, I think everybody is, you know, have, you know, great winning percentage. I mean, we're talking about, we didn't think Minnesota
Detroit's the best team in football right now. I don't think it's the Chiefs. I think it's Detroit personally. I think Detroit is really, really tough.
Well, let's let the Ravens play tonight, and then we'll make our call on that one.
Well, right. I mean, I think Detroit's beating everybody.
I think it's between those two. Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are getting by.
But the North is really tough.
The Lions talented. Are the king of the North, right?
Yeah, they're the king of the North, and the Lions had a really good matchup against. It was a good back and forth with Minnesota. The Bears are, you know, the Bears, I mean, the Bears are, they have a good record, and they're a better team now than they were when the Texans played them. But I mean, they still have some weaknesses. But once they started running the ball with Swift, DeAndre Swift, everything changed, because now Swift, all the pressure took off. It took a lot of pressure off the quarterback. And then, honestly, Green Bay didn't play great yesterday. They turned the ball over. Love had some bad interceptions. Let me give a little shout-out to Neville Hewitt, who I thought had a really good game.
Yeah,
I thought Neville Hewitt played well. This is Bullock's third interception. The rookie safety grabbed another interception. The Texans' defense actually gave you a chance, despite the fact that they were missing all those starters. They actually gave you a chance to win that game on the road, and Green Bay gave you a chance, too, with just – miscues, but you had a chance to steal a win on the road. You and I didn't think they were going to win. We thought they were going to get beat. It wasn't going to be a matchup. But when you get there, it doesn't turn into moral victory Monday. When you get there with a chance to win, you got to finish those on the road if you're going to be an AFC championship contender.
It was a lucky chance to win. Thanks to the ball going off of the leg on the punt.
Yeah.
Petrie made a nice play in cutting in front of the and then tipping the ball to Hewitt for the interception. But no, Hewitt had a really nice game. Tim Settle had himself
yeah,
a nice
did.
Game.
Yeah, he did. Another sack for an interior rusher.
Yep. All right, breaking it here, 713-780-3776, 15 minutes away from what did you learn this weekend?
God almighty. I tell you what, John, this is crazy. The Texans clearly on tape to show that they don't handle twists well.
No.
Because this is all Green Bay's doing, because they said, all right, we're going to twist the piss out of them because they don't handle it well.
They're simple TE or ET
stuff. Well, they did some stuff on the interior, too, like two A-gap linebacker twisting. And here's the problem. The Texans, they just ride with the twister. They don't, like, they're not playing with any instincts at all.
None. All right, we got a break. You got to talk about Allstate Siding.
Well, let's talk about Allstate Siding. Listen, AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. That's the website. When you give them a call, you make sure that at the end of that call, you can say it at the beginning, you can say it at the end. I don't care when you say it, but you make sure you tell them you're an ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 listener, because the thing is, they are going to give you a big discount. They want to make sure and reward people who listen to our station, and that includes not just for the ability to grab new windows at a discounted rate, and windows that are made here in Texas for Texas weather, but also an opportunity for you to get siding jobs, complete siding jobs for big discounts. And there's never been a better time than right now to start changing out those windows, because, you know, the weather is much more mild. You can take that window out, install the new window, and you're in good shape. They don't have any glass breakage. The windows are properly cut, fit, and sealed so that you don't have the leakage that is killing your air conditioning efficiency. It gives you better noise protection, gives you better protection for your home, and it just looks so much better when you have these new double-pane windows. It's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. That's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I want to make sure that we continue to press this. Okay. You got to listen to this show on 97.9 and go to HD2. And if you don't know how to do it, ask somebody. And then wait just a little bit, because when you go to the HD2 station, it takes a couple of seconds, three, five seconds. My buddy was doing it. He's like, nothing happens. And he turns it off after 2 seconds, and it comes up. So, 97.9, and go to HD2. It is crackleless, okay? There's not a crackle, nothing. It's a perfect signal. So, please go to that and listen to the show there. Or, like I was listening to you two on Friday driving up to the tournament on the app. The app is also perfect. So we're going to give everybody on the app an opportunity as well. Put it through the Bluetooth, through your speaker, so you can listen that way. And it comes in just perfect that way as well. But we've got two tickets to give away. Want to know, do you want to go to the game? We got tickets to give away all week long. We got two right now that we are giving away to the Texas A&M University of Houston game, the basketball game at Fertitta Center. These are two NCAA tournament teams. The University of Houston, obviously, got a new guy in here who's supposed to be really, really good. It's going to be another great team. KenPom has University of Houston as the number one team in the country. I trust KenPom more than I trust the AP poll. KenPom knows his basketball. So you've got two tickets, 713-780-3776. At exactly 7:40, we will give those away to caller number five. We will give those away to caller number five at exactly 7:40. And then we got What Did You Learn This Weekend? One Sentence coming up right after that. So we got a busy morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're talking about this, but let's delve into a little bit about what else happened. You were at the Texas game on Saturday.
Yeah.
Now talk about another offensive line. Talk about guys losing some money. Those bookend tackles lost some money on Saturday.
Especially the right tackle. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, Banks didn't help himself either.
Yeah, Banks didn't have a great game. It's funny, we were looking, you know, I didn't go back and I haven't gone back and watched the game tape yet, but the Joe Moore Award guys went back and, you know, we were all on a text string as the game was going on. And when they went back and looked at it, and this is Mike Golick and Junior and Cole Kubelik and Jeff Schwartz, they kind of universally said, you know, when we went back and watched game tape, it wasn't quite as bad as we thought it was. They actually, you know, there was actually some mistakes by running backs where they were, you know, where they, or from a protection standpoint, they didn't have running backs chipping and helping where they should have. You had quarterbacks hanging on to it a little bit. They actually thought it was terrible on game day, and then when they watched it on tape, they didn't think it was quite as bad as they were expecting. But the bottom line Carson Beck had three interceptions and no touchdowns, and they beat you 15 at home. Mm-hmm. Three interceptions and no – Carson Beck was terrible. Three interceptions, no touchdowns, and you get beat by 15 at home. And we'll talk about the officiating and all that, but let's not get past the part. Kirby Smart, this is exactly what I was worried about. Kirby Smart versus Quinn Ewers is a problem for Texas. It's just a problem. And I don't care. You can throw Arch in there if you want. Arch and ready wasn't going to be ready for Georgia. Georgia was ramped up and ready to roll. And even with all those mistakes that they had, they still controlled that game for the most part.
Yeah. No, it was an ass-whooping. That first half, holy crap. I mean, they made a little run in the second half. But did he start a quarterback controversy? I don't know. Arch didn't look all that good.
I mean, Quinn came back.
He had no chance, though.
He had two total touchdowns. I mean, it looked better in the stats than it actually was.
Arch had no time either. I mean, I don't care if you had put Tom Brady back there. There was nobody.
It wasn't going to matter.
That offensive line was terrible. I mean, look at the difference when you can pressure a quarterback. Look at how different it looks. I mean, the Texans looked like one of the worst offenses in the league yesterday. Just terrible.
Yeah.
And it was all because of pressure, because they couldn't handle the pressure. It is just terrible. What other?
Let's finish up with that Texas thing. So you had a call that was a terrible call. It was a pass interference call on Texas on the interception that went the other way and almost got into the end zone for a touchdown. And the officials called pass interference on the defense. It's just, look, this is what you need to know about. Yes, if this were pro football, it'd be a penalty. In college football, they let a tremendous amount of contact go at the top of the route. Tremendous. There is no, that's why Kirk Herbstreit was talking about the fact that, like, wow, I don't see a whole lot here at the, you know, at this. It's because it's never, ever, ever called. And that was really nothing. You can grab and hold guys at the top of the route, and they won't call it. That was a nothing call. It shouldn't have been. So the officials got it wrong. And then if any of you – and my brother-in-law, for example, who's, you know, a huge Longhorn fan, my wife and I were talking about this, he couldn't believe they flipped the call. So they ended up flipping the call. As most of you know, the fans – Sark immediately lost his mind because it was a huge – like, you can't afford not to have a play like that go in your favor. You can't afford to have the officials miss that. And so what happened, well, Sark was pissed. They showed it on the – they kept showing it on the board. They kept showing it in the stadium. And one fan threw a beer can out there on the stadium. And, you know, it's very copycat when you start dealing with students. it didn't take long for them to all start throwing stuff out there. And it was, I don't know how much they showed on TV. I don't think they showed a lot on TV. It rained down from just one section. Rained down water bottles and stuff like that all over the field. You had people scrambling all over to go pick stuff up. Sark ran out to the student section and told them, hey, stop, stop, stop. During all this time, and there's a delay of, I don't know, probably about 6 minutes is the delay. And during this time, the officials no doubt saw the replays up there and realized, oh, my God, this is a really big game, and we got that wrong. So they conferred and said, what's, because it's not reviewable. You can't review you can't review an interception or a bad penalty call. You can't review that. And during the thing, they got together and said, "Well, we got together and we had a discussion and picked up the flag." They didn't get. They use that as an excuse to get the call right. The problem is, it's not legal to do that. It's not inside the rules where you can just, change a call because there's a delay and you look at the look up at the board. That's not. You can't do that. And so, in essence, Kirby Smart after the game said, this sets a terrible precedent because now all you have to do if you're a fan is throw a fit and they'll stop it and the officials can look at the scoreboard and all that. And that's essentially what happened is the fit that the fans threw actually helped the Longhorns get the call because it would not have been – they would not have picked up the flag or called the flag. They called it the other way. They didn't call it a – they called it on the offense, didn't they? Didn't they say it was offensive, or did they say it was a non-call? I don't know.
Non-call.
Okay, they said it was a non-call. So Texas got it. So justice was done, but the way you got there opened up a really bad precedent because you basically reviewed a call that was not reviewable because the fans threw a hissy fit. What happened then? I don't know. Have you seen, John? University of Texas got fined $250,000 for the student's behavior. They caught a $250,000 fine.
University of Texas. What does that mean? What does that mean for them?
Well, what
it
they
means nothing. If they storm the field, it's $250,000. If they throw water bottles and get a call overturned, that's the key to me. Is that now your poor behavior was rewarded because and throwing stuff on the field. I mean, what's going to happen at Tennessee? What's going to happen at Florida? What's going to happen all over now? If you can get a call overturned because you stopped the game and they can look at it, and now all of a sudden make another this and overturn a call. I mean, that's terrible.
I want to see terrible. Somebody in the text is saying, I don't know. I don't know if this is accurate. I doubt this is accurate. The students receiving text this morning telling them they are banned for the year and next. I doubt that. I'd like to see if there's anything like – now, what they could do to scare – here's how you scare students. Any students, we're going to make a review of videos, and any students from this day forward that we find, we've got – video cameras. Anyone shown throwing something on the field will be revoked from they will be kicked out of the college or something like that. Banned from the games, kicked out of college. Watch how fast that would stop. And it's not like this has been a major issue. I've seen it happen before, but not a ton in college except those tortilla throwers in Texas Tech. But who doesn't love a good tortilla throwing? And it's easy to throw them. They're just like frisbees. But it was just a wild play. Like, I couldn't believe they were. I was up in the press box, and there was a scout there who I know from the Colts. He's like, are they reversing a non-reviewable play? I said, this is the first time I've ever seen this happen.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever seen
a non-reviewable play. Because they watched it on the – there's no question they watched it up on the Jumbotron. They showed it. John, they must have showed it like 8 times.
Yeah, and that is
all it did is make the fans madder and madder. Yeah. And Sark, they almost gave Sark a heart attack by continuing to show it.
He went out there like he had his arms raised both sides. Hey, everybody, stop, stop. You know what? He did.
Right on, baby.
It's Sark. That ain't this Sark. All right, we got a break because we got. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Coming up next, right here, Dell. We gave away those tickets. All good. And so here we go. We got. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? And there must have been something that you learned from this weekend, and you got one sentence to tell it. But first, you got to talk about Maestro de Bell.
Maestro de Bell is the tequila for you to have on your shelf. Yeah, you know, a lot of people have liquor shelves or liquor cabinets, and it's not like you just have one bourbon, right? You don't just have one, you may just have one vodka sometime or one gin, but when it comes to tequilas and bourbons, those are the two, and whiskeys, those are the ones that you kind of have, you have to have multiple types, you know, because there's a lot of different types of flavors. And with tequilas, a lot of people who have their own liquor cabinets, liquor shelves, are going to have multiple tequilas. I want Maestro de Bell to be one of those tequilas, and I want you to give them a chance, because I know that once they get a foot in the door, it's a wrap. You're going to buy a bottle. You're going to love the bottle, how smooth it is. As a sipping tequila, you can use it in your cocktails if you like, but it's a standalone tequila that tastes amazing, and it's really just one trip to the liquor store away. You're going to see, you're going to get very reasonable prices for a top shelf tequila, and you're going to absolutely love it. Make sure that you check them out for yourself. Send a picture of yourself with the bottle or whatever the case may be. Let me know what you think of it. But I think you're going to find that this is going to be one of the new bottles right there on your liquor cabinet. It's Maestro de Bell.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Time for What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence. So 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number. You learned something this weekend. Maybe it was your wife that taught you something. Maybe it was your kids. Maybe it was your boss. Maybe it was football. I learned something about football this weekend. I learned that Indiana has scored more than 40 points in 6 games in a row, and that Tennessee has not given up more than 20 points all season long. That's what I learned this weekend. And that's pretty, pretty good. What did you learn this weekend? 713-780-3776. Lance, did you learn anything about your wife this weekend after the Texas game?
No, I was gone. Well, you know what? Actually, I learned that the 12-game playoffs, 12-team playoffs actually help. Because it's
helped
not
you.
As... Yeah, it was like, we still get in the playoffs. It really
you
wasn't
can,
as big
but
a
you,
deal.
You know what? Now, you know what? You got the Aggies, don't forget, still. And guess what?
I don't think they fear Aggies.
The Aggies, ooh. They got to go to Vandy this week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Aggies, you're going to the Kingslayers.
You don't think that the Aggies are going to be a tough game? With those two bookend defensive ends?
It will be.
Against this offensive line?
They could lose two and still get in, though. This is college football. You're fine. It's 12, 20 teams, whatever it is. Everyone gets in.
What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? It's brought to you by Men's Game Day Men's Health. Game Day.
I learned Miami can score a lot of points. A lot of. I know. I learned their
offense. Oh, they better because their defense sucks.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, they better score a lot of points.
Aw, we had the number one offense in all of college football.
It's really good. Aww. It's really good.
All right, Dell, start us.
Let's go with Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre, what did you learn?
Oh, Cowboys suck again.
Hey, Double Rod, fellas. I learned this weekend that referees can get bullied by little zesty Longhorn fans, and then on top of that, not yet. Called for unsportsmanlike conduct, and I'm out.
Yep. Got that. They can get bullied by kids. By little long... Wait a minute. Did you see the kid with the hair at the Texas game?
Oh, yeah, with the grandma hair?
The gigantic hair?
So was that a picture from you know, sometimes... I've taken pictures of my TV screen... And it does weird angles, and I'm wondering if that happened because that is crazy
the
hairdo.
First time I saw it, I was like, "Oh my god!" And then, sure enough, it's all over the internet.
While you were watching, you thought, "Okay,
yeah," I thought, "Wow, that dude's head, that lettuce is something." Go ahead,
Ocho. What did you learn?
Yeah, I learned that this MF'er, Shohei Ohtani, is 18 for his last 22 with runners in scoring position.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
18 of 22 with men in scoring position.
Ooh. Ohtani is? Because he was like 3 for 18 or something.
Well, he was bad to start with when the bases were empty. And then he finally did something.
I don't know. Next call. But you can pretty much say whatever you want on this
Ocho's
show.
Ocho's generally right on what he learns.
Yeah, he is.
He generally is. Let's go with Pena. No, let's go with Wood. Woods, what did you learn?
What's going on, fellas? Good morning.
Morning, Wood.
I learned that after seeing Isaiah Likely's mom on TV for most of the week, I definitely like some of her Astros number 16.
Who?
Isaiah Likely's
Astros
mom.
Astros number 16.
Astros number 16. What does that mean to you guys?
Astros 16. You said mom, too?
Yeah. Do we know what that's in reference to?
I don't know what that's in reference to.
But it's not the first time somebody has watched TV and enjoyed a mom.
No. Moms are enjoyable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Steph Curry's mom really popped on the scene when she was,
Luka Doncic's mom.
Oh, does he have a good one?
Zach Wilson's mom.
Yeah, Zach Wilson's mom had some attention. Yep. She'll be more famous than him at the end of it.
Yeah.
Well, she may create good college quarterbacks. Well, Isaac Wilson's not even a good college quarterback. But
Xavier Worthy's got a good mom, too.
I don't know what she looks like.
Okay.
I just said he's got a good mom. That's all I said.
Oh, raised a good child. Okay.
Understood.
Well, and Jay, did you see Jay Daniels' mom? Came out. Oh, he's fine. Don't worry about him.
Oh, I didn't know she
she's
ran
already,
on the
field.
She's
already given the go-ahead for playing next week.
Good.
You know, the way
trying to win rookie of the
way
year.
Mariota played, which was a surprise. Well, except that the Panthers stink, so maybe not such a surprise. Let's go to Pena. Pena, what did you learn?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, so Edmund, Mookie Betts, and Shohei Ohtani won me some money this weekend. They helped me pay off my truck from Chastain 4, baby. Let's go.
Oh, all right. Nice. You learned it, but that was a sentence, I guess.
It was seemed like more, but we got the gist of it.
He started with a list and then a sentence.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's move on to...
There was a colon in there somewhere?
I think there was a semicolon.
Maybe something like that.
A semicolon.
Yeah. Possibly. Yeah.
We'll give it to him.
Yeah,
we'll
sure. He mentioned Chastain Ford.
He did, so we're good.
Let's go with Peter. Peter, what'd you learn?
Hey, guys. I learned, and it may not have made a big difference, but I learned that D'Amico must have forgot he had three timeouts at the end of the game there.
All right, so I've heard this argument. All right, we'll do it on the other side. I don't know how he's supposed to use the timeouts to give them more time to get down the field.
Or give his team more time to get the ball back.
When?
I don't know.
They still had to get in field goal range. The other team did. It's not like they were.
You can't take them with you, Lance.
I know, but Green Bay wasn't killing off clock to get the last. They were panicking just to on that Dontavious.
They had 3 seconds left.
I know. I don't know when they wanted to call.
Can't
like,
take them with you.
Stop it! You're trying to piss us off, Dell.
Yeah,
I know what you're doing.
Right, next, Dell.
Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, what did you learn?
Hey, I learned that not only is the Texans online is bad, but what's even worse is Kenyon Green is the worst graded inside O line by Pro Football Focus.
Yeah. And listen, Lance.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he came in as a good pass blocker. It's worse now, apparently.
No, it's been a lot better this year. But that wasn't him. He did get beat on one of the rushes by it's a slap move, got beat inside. But the problem is the Texans just screwed up the way they're handling these twists. And obviously Green Bay did it so much because they've seen it on tape. This is obviously a tendency that the Green Bay said, we're going to exploit this. I guarantee you with how much they did it.
Yeah. Dell?
Let's go to Grimace. Grimace, you had a rough one as the Dodgers clinch, and you'll see the Yankees. Grimace.
Hey, guys, it's me, Grimace.
Grimace, you suck.
Hey, Grimace here. Hell of a season for the Mets. Hell of a season for me. I've been busy.
One sentence, Grimace. Grimace, one sentence.
One sentence. Goodbye. Sorry,
he didn't follow the rule.
The impression is bad, and you didn't even follow the rules.
Let me tell you something. We're not SEC officials that let stuff just run amok, okay? We follow the rules and follow the rules of engagement. There are rules
one,
we follow.
What did you learn in one sentence?
Hey, guys, it's me, Grimace. I've had a really busy...
You're not even learning.
This isn't a Christmas card, Grimace.
You're just running down the Mets season, Grimace.
Yeah,
so Grimace, what did you learn?
You're terrible, Grimace. Bye.
Hamburglar was always a better character. Let's go to Underrated Mess. What'd you learn?
Good morning, fellas. I learned that Cleveland Brown players are tone deaf, and fans deserve to boo whoever they want. And one person has a ring in Dak's house, and that's it.
Okay, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot. Those are comments on different.
It was pretty ugly. the chants going on while Deshaun is getting carted off.
Well, okay.
Was that?
No, that was fake.
Well, that was AI. You deserve that was AI, it, right? Yes. That wasn't real. You deserve it.
You're talking about you deserve it, John?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was from a that was from wrestling. That's okay. A wrestling match. It's something famous
in wrestling.
I couldn't
believe that it was that clear and that they picked it up that quickly.
Oh, everybody in the stadium chants, you deserve it. This is why we got to be careful with these video edits, because it's from a wrestling match.
Okay.
It's a famous wrestling match.
I just saw it this morning, and I was like, that's ugly.
But let's be clear about the Browns fans before we get to Tongue Dark, Chris, and close it out. You guys only hate him because he sucks, not because of all the other stuff.
Yeah. Some fans had a problem with it when he came
in. But the people in that building that day, yesterday?
No. Don't trust hose was an actual sign.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
That a kid was holding with his dad.
You're upset?
Come on now.
Because he stinks.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Final call. Let's get to Tongue Dark. Chris, what did you learn?
I learned that after being off for 2 weeks to help my wife out with a toddler and a newborn, that I missed going to work.
Oh. Yeah, you definitely, if you're with a toddler and a newborn,
that's why
you definitely miss work.
I'll be honest, for men, the idea of the 6 or 7 week, the paternity leave, it's like.
Why would you want that? I went to work. Listen.
Because you love your wife and child.
Frankie was born. I worked that afternoon.
I know.
I mean, she was born at noon. I was at work at 3. Okay, what are you doing 7 weeks?
You were at work at 3. Yeah, but you had. Where were you at that time? Here?
Channel 51.
Oh, okay, you were here.
Yeah.
Well, but you guys also rigged a whole baseball game to win a truck or something.
That's not. What?
You did rigged a baseball
game? Channel 51 rig a thing so that somebody working there could win a truck?
Channel 51 did. The marketing guy rigged it so his mother-in-law won the truck giveaway.
That's the kind of foolishness going on at 51, Dell.
Well, that has nothing to do with me going to work after Frankie was born.
Were you in on it?
Oh,
where were you January 6th? Were you here on January 6th?
I was.
Is
nowhere.
That his Lufthansa heist?
Yes.
That truck?
Security. Sports reporter. You're looking at him. Joke.
I was at the Lufthansa
heist. Did you do the pregame show back then and the postgame show?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
But I
on
didn't
TV.
Do.
Wow.
I did. I was doing it
and then.
And then
somebody wins it. Somebody's mom wins a truck. Woo.
Yeah,
there's some dot connecting that we need to do here.
And did she?
Moms can win trucks too.
Did she put on a
no? Actually, they can't.
Did she put on a fur and other ostentatious things? And you had to take care of
her. What are you doing?
What did I tell you?
I told you no big purchases.
No big. Did you talk to the mom?
I told you no trucks. Give me that. Give me that.
Are you going to shut up?
Then all of a sudden, the guy's hanging in a meat cooler. The marketing guy's hanging in a meat cooler like Frankie Carbone.
I think he did time for it. He stole a truck. That's up like $50,000.
Yeah. At that time, it was probably about
It was,
26,
well,
probably.
30, whatever. Yeah.
All right. It's still theft.
It is theft. And I'm glad. You know what? It was kind of, wow, dude stole the truck. That was bad. Don't steal the truck. Buy a truck from Craig the Serve.
Yeah, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They got great deals right now on Chevy Silverados. I'll give you an example. What a great segue this is. You've got 0% financing, which is like stealing because you don't pay any finance rate. Well-qualified buyers right now are getting 0% finance rates on long-term purchases on the Chevy Silverado. So if you love trucks, if you love the way a Chevy Silverado looks and feels on the inside, looks on the exterior, the amount of, you know, your cargo carrying space that you have, you need to have a truck that is your second home. For people who love trucks, it's a second home for them. It's different. Truck people are different because they really appreciate what they have, and they appreciate that truck. And the Chevy Silverado is one that has the powerful engine, the look and design and feel and the comfort on the interior. Everything you need is right there. It's right there. So why not take advantage today? Go to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.com and check them out for yourself, or just head down to Angleton. It's a very easy process to get in, see all the vehicles they have. They'll get you taken care of, get you big, all the dealer incentives, a big trade-in value for the vehicle you have now, and get you in that new truck. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.